Welcome back to the Cotwright Report podcast. You know who it is. It's me, the host of all hosts, your boy Damian Parson. And in studio, which I mean my house, the studio, my main man, my brother, Marvin Avis. What's up, Marv?
Hey, man. Once again, feeling like always, the GOAT.
Oh, my God. So we got the GOAT in the building. Hey, man, you know, again, as always, I want to appreciate all you guys who show us love, who follow us, who left comments and hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, everything. You know, just got more reviews, you know, 5 stars. Appreciate you guys. And for those of you who haven't been able to, find us on iTunes, you know, leave us a review. 5 stars is much appreciated, but it is what it is. But I definitely just want to tell you guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for the love.
Yeah, always. Thank you so much. Continue to follow, like I said, follow us on Twitter. Find us on Facebook. On Twitter, CouchRR. CouchRR on Twitter. And like I said, find us on Facebook, The Couch Rider Report. But yeah, so guess what, guys? I know a lot of you, you know, have been watching and listening to everything we've been talking about. We've been talking a lot about NBA, the offseason, the finals, the draft, summer league, and all that stuff is so good, right? But the king of all kings, and I'm not talking about Jesus Christ right
now. Nor LeBron James.
He's not a king. So, kings don't go 3-5 in the finals. So, it is what it is. But the king of all kings of sports and entertainment is back, and is coming back in less than 2 weeks. I think about a week and a half, right, Mar?
Yep.
Training camp for the NFL lets us know football is back. Do you smell it? I know you smell brats and burgers and all this other stuff, but you gotta smell. Like, what the rock? Do you smell what the NFL is cooking? It's cooking greatness, man.
Listen, it's the best moments of my life on NFL Sundays.
I'm telling you, what's better? What's better, you know? What's better? Come on, nobody can tell me anything better. Name a more iconic duo. NFL and Sunday. I'll wait. You have nothing. So at the end of the day, it's NFL time, baby. So we're going to be getting into all 32, pick 'em up 32. We're going to be talking about all 32 teams in training camp. We're going to be talking about storylines. What are storylines for some of you new listeners that don't know? Storylines are simple. Things that you watch for, things that you're keying on, and that you're going to be looking out for during training camp in these next couple weeks, all right? This next month, pretty much, because preseason's almost here. Regular season will be here shortly, so let's get it going. The team that we're going to discuss today, the 3 storylines that we're going to discuss is for the Carolina Panthers. So Panthers Nation, you know.
I'm sorry.
I thought it was a roar or something, but you know, hey. I got nothing to do with that, guys. That was the goal. That was Marv. But yeah, let's get into it, Marv. Let's talk about it. We have the Carolina Panthers on slated for today, and let's just jump straight into the first storyline. It was in March sometime. We know in the offseason that Cam Newton went through shoulder surgery. He had a partially torn rotator cuff. They went ahead to, you know, perform the surgery. They said the surgery went well. You know, fast forward to June 26th, Cam Newton, the Panthers drop a video of him in the training or workout room with the trainer or QB coach, and he strength and coach, whoever it was, and he's throwing passes. You know, he's working, you know, getting that arm ready because at the end of the day, he's the money. You know, you gave him the big contract. He's the money. Not Luke Kuechly, not, you know, Charles Johnson, not anybody else on that defense. Cam Newton is the key to, he's the keys to this car. You can as well call him the engine if you want to, but he's everything to this team. So him, you know, now being able to throw, that was, like I said, it was a couple weeks ago. So it's the closer they get to training camp, hopefully the better he is. And who's going to most likely be at one of their practices? This guy for training camp. So that's the plan. I'll definitely report with you guys from there, but that's the first storyline. Let's see what his health is. The key to everything is Cam Newton's health. His shoulder, making sure he's able to throw, make all the throws. He has no setbacks and everything like that.
Yeah, because this team is not, you know, great at all without Cam Newton. We know that for sure. And it's the matter of if you get, you know, the correct pieces around him to get this team going, because he is the guy. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, pretty much just he gets this team running. He was the reason why they had that incredible stretch on that 15-1 run. Granted, they had, you know, a decent defense with Norman behind them, whatever the case is, but Cam Newton is the franchise guy for that organization.
He got the money. But I mean, we could kind of discuss it a little bit more. When you look at a lot of the other teams, right? You look at what my Patriots. Look at what they did for Brady this offseason. They got Dwayne Allen. They brought in Brandon Cooks. They got Mike Gillisley. Uh-huh. They drafted two young offensive tackles because they know that they're most likely not paying Nate Solder next year. So they went ahead and did that. They're trying to continue to upgrade the offense. Look at what the Steelers did for Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, Martavis Bryant, AB. You know, and then they went and got Juju Smith-Schuster. Yep. You know, look at what they did for Eli, bringing in Brandon Marshall, bringing in Evan Engram. What does the Panthers do for Cam Newton? Oh, I know what they did. They let in the same offseason, Steve Smith, Ted Ginn, and Brandon LaFell all walk. All of them walk. So I know a lot of people want to put a lot of blame on him, but at the same time, this dude isn't walking out with all pro receivers, man. No. He's not. He has a tight end. That's it. They don't even have a backup tight end. So, come on, man. Come on. Like, you got to give him. You got to cut him some slack, because I can guarantee you, you put some of these other quarterbacks
dealing with an aging running back.
A 30-year-old, often injured running back.
Often injured. Yes.
A bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. You know who?
Big Orr.
Yeah. The inside of that offensive line. So we will get into that real quick. You look at the offensive line. In 2015, they ended the season, according to Pro Football Focus, as the second-rated offensive line core in the NFL. That's mostly because of what happened. Cam, in 2015, he had a great year. So, of course, the offensive line got a lot of love. But they did talk about their weak points, and that was at tackle. And they made some changes. I think they brought in the other Khalil, Matt Khalil. Mm-hmm. I believe they brought him in. And they tried to reshuffle the offensive line a little bit. But, you know, you have to have a good offensive line. A good offense. You don't need a great, just a good, mm-hmm. to be able to contend in this league and keep your quarterback upright. Mm-hmm. You know, Cam Newton has never gotten sacked less than 30 times in the season. Mm. That's ridiculous, man.
Taking
a beating. This guy has, I think, has been sacked 227 times in his career.
Game this season?
Yeah.
This past season?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Denver Broncos put a bounty on that man.
Yeah.
You know, and Roger Goodell didn't try to check into that at all. But it's all right. It's all right. We get it. He's cool with John Elway. But but it is what it is. So, and like I said, the main thing is if he's healthy. But if he's healthy, here's the thing. Voting. You got to look at, let's put it into a vote. What are we going to see? Which year? Are we going to see 2016 or 2015 to go into 2017? And that's key. And that's part of the storyline. Look at his health. As long as he's healthy, the reports say he's good, and he's out there throwing every part of practice. He's doing everything he has to do. If he's doing those things, making the right throws, you know, and he still has the zip. Cam Newton, for me, may have the strongest arm in the NFL, bar none, because he throws off his back foot more than anyone, and the ball still gets where it needs to go. It's just accuracy based. That's a whole different story. But off of arm strength, he may be the most talented or strongest arm quarterback in the league with the Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco's.
If he could work on not throwing off that back foot, he would be my most favorite quarterback in the league.
Right. So at the end of the day, for me, man, you know, that's the key. Look at his performance in training camp. Not just training camp, but, you know, training camp and preseason. Making sure that he can do all the things you need him to do. You know, last year was a down year for him. So who are we going to see? Will the real Cam Newton please stand up? That's it.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say that I believe that they can actually take this division back, honestly. You look at the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, I don't think they're going to bounce back from that devastating blowout that they
had. 25-point lead they blew.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
And a lot of teams who go to the Super Bowl and lose, you know, they deal with the Super Bowl hangovers. And not to mention, it's kind of hard to recover from a Super Bowl loss as that.
The Broncos won the Super Bowl and they had a hangover. So, I mean, hey, you know.
That makes sense. But
everybody gets a hangover unless you're the Patriots.
But they were slated to win that game.
This is true.
And
this
is true. You know, the Patriots won the game and didn't lead until the final seconds of overtime. Well, not final
GOAT
seconds.
GOAT status.
Well,
came back. 25-point lead. 28-3.
It's just funny that we keep getting champions back on this thing. But I just believe that, you know, this is one of the most awkward divisions that, you know, no one really wins it, you know, consistently.
Didn't the Panthers win the division 7-9-1?
7-9-1 one season. That they did. Yes.
This division is fraudulent.
Yeah, it's that this division 1 year is the Saints, then next year it's the Panthers back to back, then you got the Falcons, and it's just it bounces over. It's been a minute for the Bucks.
Is it Jameis time? We don't know what's gonna happen.
Exactly.
It could be,
but I just got a feeling that they could possibly take over the division. I mean, it depends on what the weapons that they brought in for Cam Newton. That defense, I have to see what happens, you know, when the season progresses. But I mean, you know, I believe Cam will have a better, you know, statistical season with the weapons that he was, you know, given this offseason. I mean,
we're going to get into those weapons in just a little.
Clearly, they want to help him. I mean, you know, they bring in Christian McCaffrey, who can run between the tackles, who can run outside the tackles, and he's a very versatile back. He can go out there and he can catch the ball. And Curtis Samuel.
Jack of all trades, man. Percy Harvin 2.0.
He can run the ball and he
can concussions. Catch the ball too. No concussions.
go ahead, man.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you make all great points, Marv. I mean, when you look at Cam, you know, is he the most accurate passer? No, he's not. You know, you look at the stats and you see 52% completion and low 50s, mid 50s. You want to see the high 60s. The mid-60s if possible, but at the same time, I always have to take everything with a grain of salt, and I gotta look at what's around them. An inconsistent offensive line. They drafted him a number one receiver, 6'5", 230-something pounds, who can't catch a cold sometimes. He runs the sloppiest routes in all of football. He looks like a tight end at times during the offseason. So, you know, and Kelvin Benjamin, that's what I'm talking about for those who don't know. And I was a fan of Kelvin Benjamin when he was in Florida State. I felt like he should have stayed one more year and perfected his game and perfected his craft, you know, if possible. But it is what it is. So, you know, the talent around him, it has not been the best, you know. So, that being said, you know, cut Cam some slack, but definitely look out for his health and what version, you know, how well is he looking in training camp. That's the first storyline that we wanted to address is just the health of his shoulder, making sure he still has the zip, the power, and the spin on the ball, let it just whistle off of his hand, and whether or not his play is going to, you know, be more of a 2015. Or if it's going to be 2016, or maybe it could be inconsistent and be a little bit of both. We will hope not. But for those of us who want Cam to succeed, I hope it's more 2015. It may not be 45 total touchdowns and 10 interceptions, but if you can give me 35 TDs and less than 15 interceptions, Cam, I think you are doing the offensive justice. So, you know.
I hope I'm seeing things.
Oh, what's that,
wrong
Mark?
Here. What I'm looking at, it looks like Carolina defense finished 26th last season as well.
Oh, yeah. And that defense was not the best, man.
You know, you don't have a great supporting cast around you on the offensive side of the ball to, you know, help you out. And then, you know, your defense is not backing you up. That's a very tough slate.
Yeah, that defense, matter of fact, before we jump to the next thing, the run defense was surprisingly, they were good. Yeah, they only allowed 92 yards per game. Mm-hmm. Which was actually sixth in the league on defense. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. They allowed almost 270. We're going to say 268, 269 mm-hmm. passing yards a game. That's pretty much 29th in the league. It's only 32 teams. So you do the math. How many teams were better than them? What, three? You know, were worse than them, rather. Mm-hmm. Well, three teams. And they also gave up like close to 30 points per game. 25 points per game. They ranked 21st in yards allowed total. The defense, they kept Luke Kuechly. That's fine. He got injured. But he also got exposed sometimes last year. You know, you look at I think it was a Thursday night game, Monday night game, if I'm not mistaken, versus Tampa. Tampa ran Jaquez Rodgers. I know you remember that game, Marv, because you picked up Rodgers for fantasy that week, and he had a killer game. And they ran him up the middle. They attacked. And where was Luke Kuechly? Again, that goes to everything I've said about him. He's a great sideline to sideline guy. Put him in the ISO situation, he looks like Ryan Shazier. So it is what it is. But the defense was not great last year. I know some people think the defense is what carries this team. You can have a great defense, as we've seen with a team like Houston. If your quarterback is not playing well, Brock Trashwiler, then what do you expect? You know, what do you expect? So that's what that is. But let's jump to the next one. On to the next one. Oh, another one.
But if Cam had DeAndre Hopkins and that Texans defense, oh my god.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
So we go talk about it. You know, what would this offense look like? This year, like Marv alluded to earlier, in the draft, they brought in Christian McCaffrey, running back out of Stanford. They brought in all-purpose, or you know, for those who pay attention to high school football, whenever a player doesn't have a true position, they call him an athlete. They bring in the slot receiver, the kick returner, the running back, Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State. Electric. Matter of fact, one of the fastest players in this draft class because he ran a 4.33, which wasn't talked about because of John Ross's 4.22. So, you know, 4.33 is nothing to just bat your eyes at, guys. So, you know, you have him, you bring those two guys in, right? So for me, what I'm looking at is, because when you look at the play calling last year, let's talk about it. Let's look at that right now, matter of fact.
About the help that they brought in.
Oh, yeah. They brought in Taylor Mouton, who's, I think, from reports that I've seen, is supposed to be playing more so guard. But I would love to see him at tackle because he's a pretty good tackle coming out of, I think it was Western Michigan.
That screams, you know, commitment to helping, you know, Cam. I mean, they went offense, first three picks.
Yeah, very, very true. And when you look at it, so Cam Newton dropped back 510 times last year. He completed 270 passes for a measly 53%. Last year was the most pass attempts he had in the season, which was 34. And let's be honest here. The play calling was so suspect. So suspect. Me and Marv would just watch games and pretty much just look at the fact that they ran a ton of deep routes. Marv, could you tell me some stuff?
It was painful to watch. You see the play action and you look at the numbers, you know, that's there to block, and you notice that it's a two-man route. And it's deep passes, and Cam is just sitting there in the pocket, bouncing around, praying that, you know, one of these guys get open. But before you know it, he has pressure in his face. He has to move. And if you got a two-man route, especially when they play against, against the Broncos in that Super Bowl.
They blitzed him heavy. They blitzed him heavy.
You know, they have a great defensive front, and you run a play-action two-man route, and the Denver Broncos have great corners, and they're bringing the pressure. Come on, guys. You got Jericho Cawtry out there. What are you going to win? I mean, come on. So it was just horrible to watch. It was painful. And me and Damian were just calling it out, like, you know, like, get this guy some rhythm plays, you know, like, let's get some short passing to get the pass game going, you know, get some type of momentum. And they would just continue to try to do, like you call it, Damian, the money plays. Just, oh, we got to get a big shot. And it was killing them, killing momentum the whole entire time.
I mean, he dropped back 510 times. 59 of his dropbacks were three-step drops, more of the quick variety of passes. You know, that's only 11% of his dropbacks. That's ridiculous. Lot of his dropbacks, most of his dropbacks, you could say the other 89% were 5 to 7 step dropbacks, which lets you know it was a lot of longer routes exactly. Deeper routes. 2-3-man routes, but if you don't have, they didn't give him a ton of easy reads. So when you look at the offense this year, the potential of the offense this year, you're bringing in Christian McCaffrey, you're bringing in these Swiss Army knives, these do it all guys, who, for example, when you look at because they run a ton of pistol, they run a lot of shotgun, you can have sets. You know, I'm an offensive. Both of us are offensive minded people. You know, from when we play football and different things like that, you could bring in the pistol, because they've done this before, where they had three backs in the backfield, where they had Fozzie Whitaker, Jonathan Stewart, and Big Mike Tolbert. This time around, they don't have, and when you look at that, that's not a set that you could audible out of into a passing set, because none of those guys in the backfield with Cam can catch the ball like that.
Yeah.
None of them scare you as a receiver.
Receiving threat.
But what you can do is put Christian McCaffrey as your lead back right behind Cam in the pistol, put Curtis Samuel, and then put Greg Olsen as the other up back or H back beside Cam in the big pistol.
Or just even imagine you got Curtis Samuel back there, Christian McCaffrey, and
Jonathan Stewart,
right? You have Christian McCaffrey lined up behind Cam. You have Jonathan Stewart, let's say, for instance, to the left side of Cam, Curtis on the right. You motion Curtis out. Hopefully, if there's a linebacker on him, whatever the case is, they follow him out. And also, too, you have the option of, hey, Cam is still a running threat. Or, you know, you can send Christian McCaffrey. You can flex him out. Like, say, for instance, you want to do a run play. You can fake like you're tossing it out to him, and he can get that defense to go out, to bite out, and you hand it right underneath to Jonathan Stewart, your big power back. There's so many things you can do.
You could dictate the pre-snap. You know, find out what covers they're in. Are they in man? Does a linebacker or safety follow Curtis Samuel or Christian McCaffrey to the slot?
Play actions and screens would be killer at that formation as well. It's just
So what's the big thing is just looking at the offense. What will this offense, you know, look like in camp? Will it be more college-based? Will you see triple options, read options, the veer option? You know, will you see a lot of the speed packages back there with Christian McCaffrey and Curtis Samuel in the backfield, spreading them out to an empty set, you know, versus a base set defense that will create nothing but mismatches? That's where the offense, the OC has to figure out the best way to use and maximize his talent. You're retarded, dude. So, I mean, that's the key. So, that's one thing that you definitely want to keep your eyes on in training camp. It's just how do they use these newfound weapons? How do they get Christian McCaffrey? And here's my bold prediction. Taking out Cam, the most important person on that offense this year, in order for them to win, not named Cam Newton, is going to be Christian McCaffrey, in my opinion. Everybody knows, well documented, I was not a huge fan of Christian McCaffrey in the top 10. But the pick to Carolina started to I let it simmer, I let it sit, I let it marinate in my mind for a little bit. I thought about the abilities and what him and Samuel bring to that offense is simple. Checkdowns, easy reads, dump offs.
And this is something bad to speak on the, you know, Carolina Panthers organization. When you really think of this offensive team as a whole, their best offensive weapon, besides Cam Newton, is Christian McCaffrey, to my opinion. I mean, yeah, Kelvin
Benjamin. You said Greg Olsen, but he's getting a little older. He's also older, talking about holding out because of a contract and everything like that.
This is a guy that you're going to really depend on and you're going to need. You know what I'm saying? So it's
for years to come. I mean, and not even just with those guys, what are we going to get from Kelvin Benjamin? You know, the reports from the OC this offseason in minicamp was they want to use Devin Funchess a little bit differently. That's a guy that you brought in to be the other twin tower to your tower in Kelvin Benjamin. You know, when you look at how accurate and how much better of a passer Cam was when he didn't have the big, tall, 6'5" Kelvin Benjamin on the field, he didn't have a bailout. You know, he was able to throw accurate passes. He had Ted Ginn looking like Ted Ginn was a fantasy stud.
10 touchdowns.
You know, he was out there scoring, just making things happen. He turned Ted Ginn into a receiver almost. Ted Ginn was a viable threat. You had to pay attention to Ted Ginn because of what Cam Newton was doing.
Yeah.
He was lasering the ball in there. He was dropping dimes, you know, for all my online Madden lovers, dotting. He was out there throwing dots.
And Ted Ginn wasn't looking like that in Miami nor San Francisco.
No. So, I mean, you got the biggest part is, what are you going to get out of the weapons around him? We know, hey, Greg Olsen is just a spitting image of consistency. If you pull up consistency in the dictionary and there's a picture, it's most likely going to be Greg Olsen. He's consistent, but the weapons around him aren't. You know, Kelvin Benjamin drops too many passes.
Didn't the Bears make a trade with the Panthers?
Yes. Greg Olsen was a Bear. And the monsters of the Midway are just dumb. But, you know, when you look at, you know, Kelvin Benjamin struggles to catch passes and he runs horrible routes. You look at Devin Funchess, he struggles to get separation sometimes and be the big physical specimen everyone thought he would have been coming out of Michigan when they flipped him from tight end to receiver. So it's a lot of things you have to really pay attention to. Right. So you really have to see and keep your eyes open for what this offense will look like. What will there be consistency with the pieces around Cam? Like I said, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, how will they use these guys? I'm excited. This offense, to me, is the perfect offense for Madden, for my liking. I got a mobile big arm quarterback who can run for 10 touchdowns, all those things. How do they use Cam Newton? Last year, he got hurt. He had concussions, everything like that. He took headshots. Will they run him? Will they cut down his runs? I say still run him, just not as much.
Just not as much.
Let him pretty much do his own thing. Improv.
And Christian McCaffrey is going to help out.
Go off the top of the dome with it, like a freestyler.
Some easy check downs, too. So
yeah, exactly.
I'm wondering if Curtis Samuel can come anything close to replicating Ted Ginn's past two seasons in Carolina. I mean, Ted Ginn last season finished with 54 catches for 750 yards and 4 touchdowns. And the season before, he had around 700 yards and 10 touchdowns. And, Ted Ginn was their big play threat guy, the guy that you can throw over the top for that offense, to beat people deep down the field. And Curtis Samuel is faster than Ted Ginn right now at this point in time. And hopefully, Curtis Samuel can be electrifying, more electrifying than Ted Ginn and replicate those numbers. Because, I mean, the other receiver name again, what's his name? Keep forgetting his name.
Country?
Is Country still there?
No.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Philly Brown?
No, my fault. Funches.
Oh, Funches.
They want to use him differently, but like you said, it's hard for this guy to get separation. Sometimes you get frustrated with the guy on Madden.
I hate him on Madden.
it's like,
That's well documented.
I don't wish bad on anybody. I hope, he does well. I hope he can do great things in the NFL, but I'm really not, I have to see things go, progress out throughout the season because I'm not really a big fan and I don't know if he can, take that next level step. I mean, maybe he can do what he did last year, show some flashes, but I believe, I'm just hoping that Curtis Samuel can replicate Ted Ginn's number, man, because those numbers are missing. Now he's in New Orleans.
They need that deep threat. They need that threat to take the top off of the defense. They allow Greg Olsen to work in the middle to the short to intermediate in the middle of the field, possibly allow Devin Funches. I feel like he could be very, impactful in the slot, get him against smaller receivers, mm-hmm. let him body guys and become a power forward on some stop routes and different routes like that. In 2015, Ted Ginn averaged 17 yards per catch. He only had 44 receptions, ladies and gentlemen, and had nearly 800 yards. 44 receptions and 739 yards receiving.
44 last season?
No, that was 2015.
Oh, 2015.
Yeah, 2015 he had 44 receptions. And that's when he had
700 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah, so he was a big play guy. Mm-hmm. Will we see the same? Is Curtis Samuel the next Percy Harvin without the concussions? Albeit that he stays healthy, he could be a player. So just key in, that's our storyline. Just watch out for the offense, how they look in. And like I said, I most likely barring nothing happens, I will be there for one of their practices over the weekend. I think the 29th, I'm supposed to be there. So if I'm there, all works out, I'll be taking pictures, recording videos, taking notes, everything, man. Just enjoying the time. So definitely look out for that. And I'll bring some covers back to you guys about how they look from my eyes and some of the things I see.
You must go. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, so that must happen. But let's go to the third and final storyline. Simply, this defense. Everybody, I know a lot of people feel like the heartbeat of the team, and when they're on, it's because of the defense. Luke Kuechly's supposed to be coming back healthy. They have, a young, good corner. A corner that wasn't talked about much. And James Bradberry. A lot of people talked about Tavon Young from Baltimore and Artie Burns, who got burned in the AFC Championship game, if I'm not mistaken. Just had to take a quick Steelers shot. I like to do it. It makes me happy. But, you know, nobody really talked about James Bradberry. And
no corner who was talked about after he got cut.
Ben Wickery. Yeah. You know, shout out to Julio Jones for torching him making this guy lose his job.
You know, but you know what? You got to do your job, yeah, too. Hey, so.
put that man on unemployment line for a little bit. But, yeah, so James Bradberry,
like
you know.
My coach told one player before my eyes when he asked to get in the game, it's a man's world. That was the most hilarious thing I ever saw in my life. I was getting a play call, and he was like, coach, can I get in? And he was a senior, and I was a junior. And the coach looked him in the eye with the most fiercest look possible. This is a man's world. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow. So, I mean, our coach would just say, for some reason, I can't remember who it was. I think T.I. back in the day, what you know about that.
Yeah.
So he would just like randomly, you know, be like, coach, you know, we going to run this today. What you know about that? Huh? What you know about that? I'm like, coach, have you been listening to T.I.? Like, what's going on with you, coach? Huh, Coach Hart? Like, you know, what you know about that, huh, boy? What you know about that, young fella? I'm like, coach, cut it out, all right? Stop it. You're making this awkward. But, you know, he was always a funny guy. So, hey, you know, what you know about that? But, yeah, I mean, when you look at just this defense, man, just trying to get this defense back to where they were passing-wise, you know, stopping the pass. You know they played the cover three zone. Like I said, James Bradberry was a pretty good young corner last year. I expect him to take that next step forward and get better. So you definitely want to make sure they come down from ranking 29th in pass defense. You got to come down from that this year. You know, you let go of Josh Norman last year. You put your faith in rookies, and it just didn't make too much sense to me. But, hey, they haven't made much sense to me in half their offseason moves since Cam Newton's been there in his 7-year career. Like, they continue to let pieces walk, different things of that nature. It's crazy. They didn't pay Josh Norman. They didn't pay Josh Norman, but you paid Michael Orr.
Yeah.
This isn't the actual movie, The Blind Side. You can't write the script. Yeah. This is real life. And Michael Orr is just not good. No. He's average at best. So, yeah. So, at the end of the day, you know, you look at the defense, and they have to take the next step. They have to get back to being – they were never, to me, an elite defense. Yep. They were never the 2015 Denver Broncos, that elite defense, not the one who got ran over all year last year.
Weren't even on Seattle's level.
They were never Seattle. You know, they weren't in the conversation of the 2000 Ravens or anything like that.
Not even close.
They weren't the Chiefs. They weren't even the Rams, in my opinion. The Rams had more talent on their defense. It's just their offense was just so bad they couldn't do much.
But wasn't that the game against the Giants where they were just like going back and forth?
Yeah. So when they played high power offenses, you saw the holes. Even with Josh Norman, you saw the leaks and the holes and the issues in that defense. So, again, at the end of the day, this last storyline, you got to key in on what does this defense look like? Will they come back to form? Will they be able to hit? Will the defense – last year Tom Brady had a revenge tour. This has to be a reclamation project. They have to reclaim their dominance in the NFC South. After winning 3 straight years, I think, So Cam Newton has to reclaim his place in the NFL and as a top QB in the top 15, top 10, wherever you rank him. That's not for debate here, but he has to reclaim his spot, that he is the game changer and the player that he was 2 seasons ago. This defense has to reclaim their spot as a good defense who can make big plays, create turnovers. They were great at creating turnovers in 2015. They were great at getting sacks. Listen, they were really good at stopping the pass when they needed to. Guess what, guys? It's your time to reclaim those things. So definitely watch out for this defense going into training camp. See what they're looking like. Watch out for players' names, who's shining, who's struggling, because that tells you a lot. If that front seven is struggling, Kawan Short, you know, star Latulalele, Charles Johnson, Mario Addison, if those guys are not getting pressure against that you know, shaky offensive line.
Where's Ely?
Ely is over there with some champions and stuff. Listen, let's not even break. We'll talk about Ely later when we talk about the Patriots and his decision of being forced to move from the south up to the north. I'm pretty sure it works for him. But yeah, so listen, at the end of the day, this defense has to make a change.
So the Carolina Panthers didn't have a second round pick? Because what pick did they get from you guys? Was it a third round pick?
No, they got They got our second. They got our second, which was stupid because the whole pick, all it did was move us like 8 spots back. So we had 2 third round picks.
So yeah, 2 third. So the Panthers had, I don't remember the Panthers having 2 second round picks.
Yeah, they had 2 seconds.
What did they do? Because
they got Curtis Samuel.
You said they got Curtis Samuel?
In the top of the second.
Top of the second, yes. That was their pick.
Yeah.
8. Yeah. So.
And they traded and got our pick. From us, and we took their third pick, their third round pick.
You took their third round pick, and they got So Morton was exactly.
Yeah, so that was their.
I thought Morton was the third round pick. So then,
the thing with him though, I'm wondering, will he see any plant? That's a player that I want to keep my eyes on. Hey, just an extra. Keep your eye. We talked about him earlier, but Taylor Mouton. What college was he from, by the way? I could not remember. Was it Western Mouton Michigan?
Is from. Let's see here. Yes, Western Michigan. Yep. You're correct.
Offensive tackle from Western Michigan. Keep your ears on that name. Let's see how he looks in preseason and in training camp. Also, another name to keep your ears and eyes on, Deshaun Hall, defensive end. I do not believe, and I like that pick because I believe they're conscious that Charles Johnson's getting long in the tooth. They let go of Coney Ealy. Greg Hardy lost his ever loving mind. So, hey, that's what it is, right? So you have that, and they definitely drafted Deshaun Hall, possibly to pair him up for the long haul. No pun intended. for the long haul with Mario Addison to give them some speed off the edge because he's more of a speed rusher than a power rusher at times. So definitely, like I said, this team is an exciting team to keep your eyes on in training camp. So those are our storylines. But Marv, I'm glad to have you back in the fold, man. But glad to have you back down here in SC on the beach. It's hot as hell outside, man. Hey, listen, but it's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. But hey, it's cool inside. I'm glad to be back. And listen, man, we're going to get to work, man. I love it, man.
Definitely, guys. Hey, I know a lot of fantasy stuff's going on. Just got a text from my man, Ike. Shout out, Ike. You know, he let me know I got the number one pick in my 20-man league. I'm like, ooh, that's a lot of people. But he got number one pick. Those teams are going to be so slim of talent.
Yes.
So he got the first pick. Asked him, I was like, yo, man, you got your...
The waiver wire is going to be trash.
The waiver wire is going to be just shot. But I asked him, I said, yo, you got your draft board ready? Nope, I need to, though. Guess what we're going to have for you guys in the next couple weeks? We're going to have our draft board showing you the receivers in the top 10, the top 10 running backs, tight ends, defense, quarterback, even kickers, man. We're going to bring kickers. Kickers are people, too, all right? Kickers are people, too. They play football, all right? Vinatieri was huge for us and Peyton. You know what I mean? If you really want to talk about it, he was big. Couldn't get down there without Brady, so he wouldn't be able to kick nothing.
A fan base who really believe in kickers, Baltimore Ravens.
Justin Tucker is the GOAT. So, yeah, so definitely look out for that. We got the draft stuff coming for you. We have a draft podcast coming as well. Again, follow us on Twitter, CouchRR. Get on iTunes, leave us, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review or a review, however you want to do it. Leave whatever review. You are the people. We're the voice of you. We want to hear from you. So definitely do that for us. Podomatic, follow us. You know, subscribe, share it, whatever. Do what you have to do. Show us as much love. But for the love that you have shown us, we salute you. Thank you so much. But again, I am your gracious host, the best host, the host of all hosts. And this is the GOAT with me.
You know it.
The GOAT. Marvin Neighbors. I'm Damian Parson. Hey, thank you guys for joining us to bring your original sports perspective from our couch to yours. Thank you for showing up today. You guys have a good one.
Deuces.